KGYM countdown to kickoff. Our stop today takes us to East Lansing, Michigan, home of the Spartans, 10-3 last year, 7-2 in the Big Ten. Unfortunately, a lopsided loss to Washington State in the Holiday Bowl, or I should say a win over Washington State in the Holiday Bowl, ending the season on a high note for the Spartans. Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press joining us now. And Chris, I want to start with the news yesterday out of East Lansing, and that's turning the athletic department over and dropping the interim tag from Bill Beekman, a guy who has no athletic department managerial experience whatsoever. Is this a good move given everything that's going on at Michigan State?
Well, the optics of it are not good. I think that the interim president, John Engler, former governor of Michigan, he stated back in February that he would not be hiring anyone internal to be the full-time athletic director. Well, it also went into the fact that we didn't think that interim president John Engler would be naming a full-time athletic director regardless. That all changed yesterday. And Free Press, Detroit Free Press, we broke that story on Friday night. It's hard to say what Bill Beekman will do. He's got, obviously, the implicit trust of the coaches. I believe the coaches are the ones who pushed for this in the couple, 5 months or so that Bill Beekman's been on the job. It's been relatively quiet beyond what already had been going on. So, I guess time will tell a little bit. He does have a law degree. He does have an MBA. He has worked for the university for about 25 years, which that does trouble some people when they thought that this would be a chance for the place to go out and try and clean up some of the things that have been going on. But at the moment right now, though, it's I would imagine it's going to be only a couple years, especially with usually a new president when they come in will put their own athletic director in charge. So I guess we'll wait and see on all that.
Now, Chris, last year when we were previewing this team, we were talking about that not only coming off of a 3-9 season, but all the off the field issues. Several of Mark D'Antonio's players were alleged in a couple of different sexual assault charges, at least off the field. Has this offseason been any better for this program, not only with what the football program's been wrapped up in, but what just has been sweeping across Michigan State?
Well, it's hard to say that because, the glow of that 10-3 season from a year ago and basically flipping it from the previous year in 2016, it felt like Michigan State was moving on from the two sexual assaults that cost them four pretty talented freshman players after the 2016 season. But then came the ESPN story in January and my story at the Free Press chronicling a few other incidents that had happened in previous years that hadn't been reported. There's been a microscope around the whole program, including football, including the basketball program. But just looking at Mark D'Antonio's program, they did have a quiet spring outside of that. They had a productive spring. I thought that, they return everything, all except Brian Allen and Chris Fry, really, are the only two real contributors that they will lose from that team from a year ago. That's a lot. I mean, I don't think Mark D'Antonio has had such a young team, let alone a young returning team. And there's a lot of juniors on this team, so they'll be back for another year after that. So I do think that there was cohesion in the offseason. They were able to pretty much avoid most of the problems with the fallout after Larry Nassar, after the ESPN stories, after everything else. And that was mostly basketball in the scope. But D'Antonio's team is going to be, I think, one of the front runners for the Big Ten East.
Yeah, you mentioned 20 guys with starting experience coming back to the squad, and yet you take a look at the Big Ten East, and Ohio State's the prohibitive favorite. Penn State's going to be really good again. You could be looking at a third place team in the Big East coming off, or Big Ten East coming off a 10-3 season a year ago. What does Michigan State need to do in order to perhaps exceed the expectations and finish ahead of Penn State and Ohio State this year?
Well, that's a good question. Because last year they finished, they did get Penn State. They managed to get ahead of them, and I think Penn State loses a lot. I think that you cannot overestimate and overstate just what Saquon Barkley meant to that team, but I think the unheralded guy that they lose is Mikey Siki. That was a defense stretching target and allowed those receivers to do so many things outside of him And really, the pass catchers that Trace McSorley had are gone. So he's going to have to, I think, take that next step to show that he doesn't he's the weapon, not the other guys around him. Ohio State loses a quarterback. I mean, that's the thing is Michigan State, you know, when you look at McSorley and Brian Lewerke, those are probably two of the best, if not top two, maybe top three guys with Thorson out in the Northwestern returning a quarterback. I think that, you know, for Michigan State, they're going to need Lewerke to be able to stretch the field. I mean, we talk about McSorley, but that's where Lewerke, he had games where he was thrown for 400-plus yards. He set a Michigan State single-game record against Northwestern, I think 465 in that triple overtime game, and then he threw for 400 against Penn State, but then would have 30 to 50-yard games after that in some bad weather. So they need him to be a weapon with his arm as well as his legs. They need L.J. Scott to be the guy that everybody has thought for 4 years he could be, the guy that people thought will be an NFL running back and be a 1,000-yard rusher. He still has yet to get that, and that line is going to have to show maturity from being a young group a year ago to now having some experience and some real – what I think is Mark D'Antonio's most talented offensive line that he's had in 10 or 12 years at Michigan State. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they got to continue to stop the run like they did a year ago. They'll be really good at the corner with Justin Lane and Josiah Scott and some fresh talent behind them. You know, I look for their defense to be the catalyst. And really, this may be one of the more balanced teams that D'Antonio's had on both sides of that ball.
I want to talk about the offensive line because I think a lot of Michigan State fans look at last year as and they should as a huge success. But that one game they look at is the Ohio State game where everything just sort of went wrong. Lewerke was sacked six times. I think they only had something like 50 yards of rushing, less than 200 yards of offense. How much of whether this team can compete with Ohio State is going to rely on that offensive line taking another step forward?
Yeah, I'll take even add it to it. I mean, I think the defensive line on top of that's where Ohio State won that game on both sides of the trenches. Their defensive line blew up Michigan State's offensive line, didn't allow them to get any real traction in the running game. And, you know, when you're sending Lewerke back on his bottom, and I think Messiah DeWeaver, who's since transferred, he got in and got sacked, I think, two times late. You know, that was – one of those games where you saw the youth of Michigan State's offensive group up front. I mean, the only guy that was a senior on that group that they lose is Brian Allen. I mean, that's an NFL draft pick at center, so your nerve center. But they return everybody. They return about five or six guys that have experience now. I think they can go at least seven, maybe eight deep. And I don't think there's much of a drop-off. Guys like Luke Campbell and Cole Chewins at the tackle spots are going to be solid. David Beadle and Kevin Jarvis, I think, are two guys that have NFL futures in the inside. And it's finding that replacement for Allen. Right now, Matt Allen, his youngest brother, you remember Jack Allen, was the oldest brother. They've kind of, I guess, snapped the ball to each other in a matter of speaking for that position. So he's looking at being the starting center right now, but they need him to be productive to create those holes. I mean, he's got to be able to call the protections, and that's something that, you know, helped Brian Lewerke last year, was having that veteran experience of Brian Allen, a guy who played all over the front in the middle of that line, making those calls and making those checks. Matt Allen's got to do that as well. And Lewerke's got to now take that step from sophomore to junior and be able to direct his center as well.
Chris Solaria, the Detroit Free Press, joining us. Our countdown to kickoff today featuring Michigan State. You mentioned Brian Lewerke. If he were to get injured, Rocky Lombardi is behind him on the depth chart, a guy who grew up in Cedar Rapids, finished his high school career over by Des Moines. What can you tell us about his chances of seeing some playing time this year if there was an injury to Brian Lewerke?
Well, I can tell you one thing. I mentioned Messiah DeWeaver earlier. There's a reason Messiah DeWeaver left Michigan State, and that's how good Michigan State coaches feel about Rocky Lombardi. He got a chance to show some of his arm strength and ability to lead the team during the spring game, getting his first indoctrination. But throughout camp last year, coaches were really impressed with Lombardi. And then into the season, you know, there was talk that if there was a significant injury to Lewerke last year, that they would have burned the red shirt on Lombardi, and because that's how comfortable and confident they felt in him. I mean, he's got that wrestling pedigree. He's got that tenacious mindset. He's such a leader, and he's got a really good touch and arm strength. I think he's the guy that, you know, eventually will pass that baton to the starting job. And I think the coaches really do feel comfortable that Rocky Lombardi could step in, you know, whether it be a short-term or long-term situation and do the things that they want him to do.
Now, Chris, I think a lot of Iowa fans are going to remember Felton Davis and the game that he had against the Hawkeyes last year. But I look at this receiving core, whether it's him or Darryl Stewart or Cody White, a lot of talent, a lot of size there. Is this a unit that's poised for a breakout season?
It is, and it's such an unheralded group, too. They lose two guys that were true freshmen last year that were contributors, and Tristan Jackson and Hunter Risen, but they return everybody else back. And another situation where the balls weren't going their way because, you know, a guy like Cody White had stepped forward as a true freshman and became a reliable target for Lewerke and showed some wiggle after the catch. And Darryl Stewart had some big games, and Felton Davis has that big body and size. And, you know, I think you remember the Big Ten championship game against Iowa a couple years ago. That was his breakout moment when he went up and made a third down catch at the end of the first half that ended up being leading to a pretty significant score when he was a true freshman. So this is a group that's got some talent there. And the question is now whether those depth guys behind them are going to be able to contribute like Jackson and Risen did last year, mostly Risen. I think Risen was really their number four option by the end of last season. He ends up at Kansas State. So that'll be something to keep an eye on this year. But I know that they've got guys like C.J. Hayes and Cam Chambers back that they really like, that present a little bit more size and a little bit more that down the seam and over the middle ability.
Is there a young player we haven't seen yet, maybe a freshman or somebody who redshirted last year that we'll see for the first time this fall you think could make a big impact in East Lansing?
Well, that's a good question. I think Lombardi's one of those guys that we've talked about that could make an impact if needed. I don't think he's one of those guys that's going to steal a job right away. I think, you know, a Matt Allen guy at center will be one guy to look at. I think in the running backs, right now they've got Scott and Connor Hayward. Hayward played as a true freshman last year. He'll probably be the number two guy, but they really like Ladarius Jefferson. That's a name to keep in mind because they don't know exactly where they're going to put him. He was a high school quarterback, state champion quarterback at Muskegon High School on the west side of Michigan. Tremendous athlete. They're going to start him in the backfield. They could use him in some wildcat. They want to get him on the field and get him the ball. I think he's that kind of an electric player. So I think that's the name to keep an eye out for that. You know, when they find a spot for him, that'll be the big thing. And I think on the defensive side, safety Xavier Henderson is a kid who early enrolled. There's a chance that even as deep as they are with David Dow and Kari Willis returning at safety, they really like Xavier Henderson. I think he's a big hitter and he's got some savvy to him for a young guy. So kind of like Josiah Scott did last year, you can see him playing quite a bit in that secondary, whether it's in a nickel role or a bigger role than that.
How did this defense completely turn a 180 from 2016 where that unit really let them down?
Well, I think that a big part of it was just starting up front. They made some personnel decisions on the coaching staff to get a defensive ends coach in. Now, they're going to lose Harlan Barnett to Florida State, and he took Mark Snyder with him. But they had shifted the roles on the defensive line coaches. And I think that Ron Burton did a great job working on the inside guys, and Snyder did a good job working on the outside guys. That was a big thing. And I think the other thing, they got great cornerback play. I think that defense, when you're getting pressure up the middle from guys like Raekwon Williams and Mike Panishuk, and you're getting the coverage in the back end from Lane and Scott on the corner and then the safeties, that's what makes that defense work. I think, you know, in the middle, you're always going to have Michigan State linebackers. I think that's always been one of the bread and butters all the way back to the George Perlis era and Duffy Doherty. But with Mark Antonio's defense, if you're getting pressure up front, especially in the middle of that line, and you can cover in the back, that's where you see the defense working like they did last year.
Chris, we appreciate you stopping by and giving us the rundown on Michigan State. Thanks for the time.
No problem, guys. We'll see you out in Chicago.
Yep. Chris Solari, the Detroit Free Press. Give him a follow on Twitter for all of your Michigan State news.